Welcome to Does the Team Think? And now here's your chairman, MacDonald Hubley.
And in this program, you'll hear a variety of answers to a variety of questions put by a variety of people. So let's meet the people who'll be doing most of the answering. We have Richard Murdoch, Tommy Trinder, Ted Ray, and the man who dreamed it all up, Professor Jimmy Edwards. And sitting next to me is Mrs. I.M. Ditton. Hello, Mrs. Ditton. Can we hear your question, please?
Do the members of the team think they'd have liked to have lived in the Wild West as depicted in films?
Do the members of the team think they would like to have lived in the Wild West as depicted in films?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have always been very interested in the Wild West. And when I was very, very young, my first recollection of the cinema screen, as far as it concerned the Wild West, was a man named William S. Hart. William S. Hart had a gimmick, even in those days of the silent films, when he used to almost close his eyes and glare at his enemies, you see. And I thought, this is great. And I came home and tried it on my mother. And the next day, she took me to the eye hospital.
Ever since then, you've never been able to see very well, have you?
All right, Tommy Trinder.
Well, Mrs. Ditton, it might interest you to know that I have been in a cowboy film.
What part did you play?
I played a cowboy.
You played the back legs?
No, I did not. I was picked for the part because I was the only artist that could hold Topsy at a trot. I went to Australia, and for 5.5 months, I lived out in the bush like a cowboy. I dressed like a cowboy.
It's an extraordinary country, Australia. They've only got one bush.
And if you were behind it, there'd be standing room only.
You never know where to go. There's only one bush. Anyway.
Richard Murdoch.
Richard Murdoch.
I'd love to be in one of those Western films, you know, those lovely... Well, for the first 3/4 of it, because towards the end, the shooting starts.
And they never reload, do they? Have you noticed that? Those guns, they've got 100 bullets in those guns.
Well, that's what the commercials are for, so they can reload.
Jimmy Edwards.
The point of this thing is that I would like to have lived in those days, provided I could have read the script first. I want to be one of the ones that survives. So many of them don't in those films. If I were the sheriff or the good man, yes, but I'd hate to be the bad man and have to do all that clutching of my stomach.
So
and
you
ride.
Want to be a good man and play character parts?
Mrs. Ditton.
Blimey, that died. Didn't
Jimmy
it?
Edwards. Jimmy Edwards would be the only sheriff in the world to ride side saddle.
And then I'd have 4 rosy cheeks. I know. You mustn't say that.
Mrs. Ditton, if you lived in those days, what character would you like to play?
I can tell the team what I think they would have been.
Oh, do, yes.
Well, I think Jimmy Edwards would have been one of these travelling professors that go around with a little cart and the elixir of youth.
And I'd have been the fellow they swept up.
Mrs. Ditton's got the floor.
Ted Ray would definitely have been a country parson.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered together.
Now, what about Thomas?
Undertaker.
You see, I've become the hero. I get them in the end.
Very good, Tom.
All right, Mrs. Ditton. What about Dickie Murdoch, Mrs. Ditton?
Well, he presents a bit of a problem.
Doesn't he?
Well, he would have made a bartender or a Mississippi riverboat gambler.
That's what I thought. Our team, do any of you think that you'll be quick on the draw?
Well, I'm practically quick on the draw. I've been drawing money out every week myself.
I'm very quick on the draw. I get 1 out of 8 on the pools.
Tommy.
Draws don't appeal to me.
I wonder if any of the team have had the experience I had, because I had a
Shouldn't think so.
A schoolboy. Why does it show? I had a childhood hero, a fellow named Tom Mix.
Oh, so did I.
I thought you were going to say Tommy Trinder for a minute.
Tommy, you've always been my hero.
He was very quick on the draw. He was what they call the ready mix, wasn't he?
The ready mix. Well, that's good, Jim. No, but I admire this fellow, and I never dreamed in my wildest dreams that I ever dream I'd meet this man. And I did honestly play on the bill with him at the Finsbury Park Empire. And there was my hero, many years later, mind you, sitting on the side of the stage. And I went up and I said, Mr. Mix, it sounded ridiculous. Mr. Mix, I said, you are my hero ever since I was a kid. And he looked at me and I thought he was going to give me a little pat on the head. you know. And he said, that's all. That was a lot.
What was that other famous, was it Billy the Buffalo Kid, or what was it called?
Buffalo Bill.
Now, never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that I'd ever have the privilege of meeting him. And I never did.
Thank you, team, and thank you very much indeed, Mrs. Ditton. Thank you very much. And now, team, it's Mr. Philip Whiteley. Hello, Mr. Whiteley. What's your question, please?
What are the team's favourite names of English towns and villages?
What are the team's favourite names of English towns and villages?
Places.
That's your name for them, places.
Well, they are places, aren't they?
You can't call everywhere places. Where were you last week? Places. Where are you going next week? I'm going places.
He means places like Compton Paunsfoot.
Yes, that's
right.
Or Chipping Sodbury. I love that one.
That's what I'm doing on the golf course. Very bad.
It's a lovely little old place down somewhere near where you're working.
Hinton Charterhouse.
Tommy, there's a place called Pluck's Gutter.
There's a place called Little Piddling.
But the funny thing is that these places are not always pronounced as they're written. Pluck's Gutter is actually pronounced Plutter, you see.
Is that right?
Yeah. So where are you going tonight? I'm going to Plutter.
I hope she likes it. Yeah. You will throw these feed lines at me.
Well, I can see you're hungry.
I was in the northeast of England a little while ago.
Oh, yeah.
Chesterley Street, Hetley Hole, Houghtley Springs, but the one I love, pity me.
That's the one I want to talk about.
Well,
now, how about that? There is a village in Durham, or Northumberland, I won't be sure about this, and it's called Pity Me. Now, honestly, folks, how sad can you get? Can you imagine living in a village and somebody says, where'd you come from? And he says, pity me. So you buy three of his pencils and he's out of work again.
What about Nether Wallop, Little Wallop and...
Oh, the Wallops.
Yes, the Wallop.
Now you're on Jimmy's country now, the Wallop. The Wallop man himself.
Dickie Murdoch.
While these other chaps have been sort of waffling around, I've got one or two.
Oh, have us. Yeah, have we?
Old Marsh in Bleasdale.
Eh?
In Lancashire.
What's it called?
Barley with Wheatley Booth.
You're joking, of course.
Yes, I've been to Cridling Stubbs in Yorkshire. There's Barton in the Beans in Leicestershire.
Really? Poor old Barton.
There's a place in Cornwall called Stib.
There's a place in Cornwall called Lube, and I never go in there.
It's an extraordinary thing. You only have to say something rude and you get a big laugh.
Right, team, just let's give you a rest for a moment. Let's find out from Mr. Philip Whiteley whether he has any particular names of towns and villages that he particularly likes. Have you, Mr. Whiteley?
Yes, well, my favourite, I think, is called Broadbottom.
We're always getting back to Jimmy Edwards, aren't we? Always.
But there are some very fascinating names around the world, not only in England, if we might enlarge the
problem. But
do. In Canada, for example, I was stationed at a place called Swift Current, and there's a place called Medicine Hat in Manitoba.
You've got a good band around that, haven't you?
Well, Australia.
And do you know that in New Zealand, there's actually a town called Waikikamuka?
Why should you kick a mook?
Well, I mean, the RSPCA should move in.
There's Oamaru, Timaru, and Waipakarugga.
Where's
the best half back line?
Oh, is it?
And that's a good half back line.
What
there's
about
a place in Yorkshire, keeping it to England for the moment, Britain rather, there's a place in Yorkshire called Steeple Bumpstead on the Wold near Giggleswick, Yorks. Isn't that gorgeous? I'll tell you about a friend of mine.
Oh, yeah.
Was driving his car, and this chap said to him, now, you want to be very careful, he said, because the police are very hot round here. And he didn't take any notice. He went through a village, and this chap said, what was it, that village we passed? And he said, a place called Goslow. And the next morning, when he faced the magistrate, he realised it was Go Slow.
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you very much, Mr. Whiteley.
Whiteley.
Thank you, Mr. Whiteley. Now, sitting next to me is a very attractive young lady who answers to the name of Julie Robinson. Hello, Julie. What's your question, please?
Have any of the team ever been hypnotised? And if not, would they like to be?
Has any of the team ever been hypnotised? And if not, would they like to be?
Julie, if you'd have phrased your question, have the team ever been under the influence? You'd have got much more sensible answers than the ones you're going to get.
What I liked was the way Julie rolled her eyes to heaven after she'd asked the question. She doesn't know what she let herself in for. How old are you, Julie?
10.
10?
You want to be 11, darling? I wouldn't dare crack that. Isn't she lovely? My God, I wish I was 12. I was 12 once.
It's a long time ago.
Julie, have you ever been hypnotised?
Well, I haven't been hypnotised, but I don't think I'd like to be, because, well, I might do something I didn't like.
You say you haven't been hypnotised?
No.
No, well, see, that's unfortunately one of these simple questions where the answer, as far as I'm concerned, is just both in the negative, and that's the end of it. I haven't and I don't want to be.
But has anyone ever tried to hypnotise you, Jim? A professional hypnotist, I've had this experience.
No, I never have. No, well, I wouldn't allow him to try because I know he'd succeed.
Ted, do tell us about your experience.
Yes, well, I can't mention the fellow's name because this was a most unfortunate situation. This fellow was, many years ago, a hypnotist on the BBC. And there were several of us there, and obviously he chose his subject very carefully. But he didn't bother with me. He didn't give me any instructions.
I didn't choose mine very carefully at Cambridge, but that's another matter.
Well, you majored in boozing? This fellow came along, and he came along, and he said to me, he threw a few questions at me very quickly, you see, you know, twice one, two, twice two, four, twice, and so on and so on. And then he said, think of a number between 5 and 12. And deliberately, I said 8, when nearly everyone says 7. He said, think of a colour, and most people say red or blue, and I said yellow. And I saw this fellow's eyes flicker, you know.
He finished up, you hypnotised him.
I spoiled his concentration and ruined the fellow's act.
Yeah, but
I didn't mean to, but I was just being obstructive.
I've seen this fellow, I'm probably the same fellow you're talking about, do an act at a holiday camp where he not only hypnotised a great many people in the audience, but late at night he was constantly being dragged out of his chalet to unhypnotise people.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, that kind of thing happens in holiday camps.
But you don't have to unhypnotise them, you just pry them apart, don't you?
I would...
They're kissing each other so vociferously. As Jimmy says, these fellows, they can do it. There's no doubt about that. They pick their victims, you know, very carefully, and they just snap their fingers and they go under. They really do.
You've got to be a weak vessel.
Tommy, now, I can give you an example.
Have you ever been hypnotised?
Well, a man tried to hypnotise me, and there were four of us seated in a line, and he's working on me and says, watch that closely. And a girl sitting next to me went right out, and he wasn't hypnotising her. She got a ricochet off me.
And it was a cockeyed hypnotist.
Did she put her hand up before she went out?
Julie Robinson, supposing you were a hypnotist, how would you set about hypnotising Jimmy Edwards? Now, what would you do? Would you look at him? Would you dangle sort of watches at him, or what?
Well, first of all...
You'd clear your throat.
I'd say, do you trust me?
Oh. Sweet. Very sweet.
And then, I'd say...
Where do you live? In a trust house or something?
Come on.
I'd say, watch my finger. And I'd wave it about in front of his eyes and I'd stare at him.
You've got me going, you know, now, you know.
You'd be the only girl in the world with a bloodshot finger.
Thank you, team. Thank you very much. And thank you, Julie Robinson. And just before we ask our next guest to come in, may I just say that in case you wondered why it was that Julie Robinson, who's never had anything to do with show business in her life before, this is her very first occasion, why she spoke so clearly, so well, and wasn't frightened of these comics, she is, in fact, the daughter of one of our occasional panellists, Cardi Robinson,
well,
who's in the audience. All right, team. Well, now it's time to meet our special guest, a singer, actor and comedian who's stolen a large number of radio and television shows from a large number of comics. It's Benny Lee. Welcome to the program. What's your question, please, Benny?
Does the team think that the best pop songs were written before the word pop was invented?
Does the team think that the best pop songs were invented before the word pop was invented?
Well, I would say it all depends when the word pop was invented.
That's right, Dickie.
Well, I mean, after all, you...
Yes, I was thinking of that.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's have Dickie Murdoch.
This is a very early pop song, and it concerned a lady who had a lollipop shop in Poplar. And as far as I remember, if my memory serves me right, it went something like this.
Oh, dear.
Pop, pop, poppity pop, let's pop into the lollipop shop. The population round about, they all pop in and they all pop out. Pop is the name of the girl inside who serves the ginger pop. So, pop, 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 pop it and see pop. One poppy one day in the popular lollipop shop. The
pop, hey, pop, pop. It's a hit.
Gene, having heard that could I ask you, could I ask you whether you vote that a hit or a miss?
I think this whole question has been cunningly brought in by Benny Lee to plug his sister Annabelle and his brother Robert E. on whom most people have been shuffling along for the last 40 years. They play a lot of stuff that I don't get at all. Now, I know they've got to make way for the so-called younger generation, but the songs don't tell any story. They don't live.
As a matter of fact, you're absolutely wrong. If you listen to the stories of the songs today, they not only tell them, but they're filthy as well. Right? Some of the lyrics that have been written today are sheer pornography.
Tommy Trindle, your big moment has come, Tommy.
Yes, well, I mean, the word pop is abbreviation of popular, yes. Popular songs.
That's clever.
Oh, good gracious, is it?
That's yes. Clever.
I've worked that out.
I never knew that.
Did you really?
No.
Don't talk with your mouth full.
Well, take a cigar and the teeth out.
Yeah.
Tommy Trindle.
I'm still here.
Yeah, I know.
Well, anyway... There's always been popular songs. I remember the first one.
You're going to say Champagne Charlie and I'll shoot you.
I was going to sing that one that you did when you made your debo.
What? A debo?
The boars have got my daddy. You remember?
And now they've got the panel.
All right, team, hang on a minute. Oh, wait a minute, Dickie Murdoch.
I insist on getting this in because seeing Benny Lee there, he is responsible for one of the best stories that I've dined out on for years, and I tell this about a dance band in Glasgow, and somebody came up and said, would you play No No Nanny 8? And right. I'm going to ask Benny to carry on from there.
Right, Benny, carry on from there.
The other chap had a band at a cafe in Loves, actually. It's a true story. And some girls used to come in every day and buy lemonade and think they owned the place. And one day, one of them came up and pulled this fellow's coat and said, play No No Nanny 8. So he said, oh, we don't know it. And she said, do you know No Nanette? And I'm sorry I spoke.
Do you know No.
Getting back to the subject at hand, but do you think the best pop songs were written before pop's invented? What kind of songs does the team sing when they're at home, say, in the bath?
Well, any song that needs a good plug. I sing Coming to the Garden, Maud.
As she so often does.
And now he's having a bath in the garden, under the hose.
I'm thinking of Maud.
Do you know one of the ones that springs to my mind? It's the opening phrase of a song that makes you want to sing it. You're lying there in the bath and you suddenly think, some in tune in evening, and you're away with it.
Jimmy's been at the Purple Arts.
Jimmy's let me down very badly because I should have thought that the number one song for you in the bath would have been I'm forever blowing. Because for many years, that's been his signature tune, which shows how young our audience are tonight.
Of course. Dickie Murdoch.
Well, I was walking along when I was doing my Christmas shopping.
That's a good title for a song.
I was walking along while I was doing my Christmas shopping.
Dickie Murdoch.
And in the window of this shop.
And in the window
of this shop.
There's a lollipop, pop, pop,
pop. Dickie Murdoch.
I'm just waiting for it to simmer down. And in the window of this shop was a beautiful little porcelain poodle, you see.
Porcelain poodle.
And I wanted to buy this, and I thought, oh, it'll obviously be far too expensive for me. Anyhow, I thought, well, I'll go in and ask the price. So I went in, and I said to the gentleman in the shop,
how much is that dog in the window?
Thank you, team, and thank you very much indeed, Benny Lee. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
And now we say hello to Miss Greta White. Hello, Greta. What's your question, please?
What is the team's favourite culinary dish? And have they ever been embarrassed by it?
What is the team's favourite culinary dish, and have they ever been embarrassed by it?
I'll tell you the name of mine.
Oh, yes.
I have a favourite dish and have been embarrassed by it. Butter beans.
Actually, you know, there are wonderful dishes for bachelors.
Aren't there?
Yes. Greta? Scotch pheasant, black pudding with a feather stuck in it.
Oh, I say. You have your dinner and clean your pipe. That's the lady that got my blood transfusion. Lionel Merton told me for bachelors a marvellous dish. You had a thin piece of veal. You can buy it any ironmongers. You get a casserole. The wife's not wearing it. A casserole dish, you place this piece of veal in it, some butter, you chop up some chives, and you put in some anything you like, tomato, mushroom stuff, little bits of strips of bacon. You put the whole thing in with plenty of butter.
Then you go out to the pub for a pint.
I know the whole thing is you leave it in there for about an hour and a half.
Then you open a tin of beans.
Come on, Ted, what do you do with it?
You take the whole casserole dish out of the oven. As Jimmy says, you can go down to the pub and have a couple of pints. Great. You come back, it's all done. You eat it out of the dish and there's no washing up.
What is your favourite dish, Miss White? And have you ever been embarrassed by it?
I haven't got a favourite dish, but I've certainly got a dish I've been embarrassed by.
Tell us.
Inasmuch I once thought I'd have some spaghetti. And they put it in front of me, and for the life of me, I didn't know how to eat it.
Oh, yes.
So I thought, well, I'd better watch a few people around me. And I saw them twiddling with a spoon and a fork. But I afraid I didn't really do very well. And I didn't get much spaghetti.
Mrs. White, what did you do with your spaghetti?
Don't be so rude.
Well, obviously she took it home and knitted it.
She's the only lady with a spaghetti vest in the business.
All right, team. You mentioned, I think, Ted, you mentioned being a bachelor or something.
I didn't say I was a bachelor.
He was talking about his father.
All right, team, if you were at home in a flat and perhaps the wife is away, what meal would you cook for yourselves?
I would start off with turtle soup.
Burnt or Trinder?
You've never seen a turtle.
I have. I keep them at home, little ones. With sherry.
Of course.
Why don't you dry up?
Dry sherry. Very good, ladies and gentlemen. Very good. I'm with you, Tom.
Bless you, Ted. We'll get the dinner out the oven, will we?
Come on, let's have the menu.
There's only one dish, Tommy.
Yeah, only
having one. A meal is entitled to go through the card.
Yes.
No, he's not. We haven't got time to go through a full six course.
One dish.
One dish.
I'll have a tin of vegetable soup. Never
Thank you.
Lot.
Dickie Murdoch.
Well, the only time I've ever been embarrassed by a dish was when my mother made a rice pudding. And it wasn't enough to go round, you see.
So you bought a fan?
My father.
Come on, Dickie, try again.
Well, I was just going to say, he threw it in the electric
fan. Oh, no!
Oh, Dickie, I'm sorry!
Thank you, team. Thank you very much indeed, Mrs. Greta White. And that, I'm sorry to say, brings us to the end of this edition of Does the Team Think? We'd like to thank all those who asked the questions, particularly our special guest, Benny Lee, and, of course, our team of thinkers, Richard Murdoch, Tommy Trinder, Ted Ray, and Professor Jimmy Edwards. This is MacDonald Hobley saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye.
The Team Think was presented by the BBC.
Thank you.